This is the 1895 podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. As always, we are brought to you by Go Loud. Go Loud is the home of Irish podcasts. And as always, I'm in my box room and I'm joined by Ben. Hello, Ben. Are you in your box room?
I am. The fancy studio has been put away. given the tight turnaround in between games, we decided to go a bit old school.
Yeah, well, I only seen you about, 12, 14 hours ago, maybe?
Yeah, I feel like I've seen more of you than I have literally anyone else in my life. And Reggie, of course.
Yeah. It is a... These midweek or like the Monday night games always kind of throw me off a little bit. They just, I don't know, I got discombobulated. Like, you think it's Friday and just. Yeah,
it kind of ruins your week. And I'm not being funny, but there's only so many dental emergencies I can have to get out of work early before they start thinking, wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah, it's not ideal. But look, we'll get to Galway shortly. You mentioned the studio there, Ben. Our guest last week went down very, very well. Harry Wood might have caused a little bit of a storm in the Shelburne dressing room with some of his answers to his teammates' questions, but I think his interview went down really well. I think people got to see another side of Harry that you obviously wouldn't see on the grass on a Friday.
Yeah, I think those interviews just work really well, just to give people an insight into the player. We'd be friendly enough with Harry and just realise how funny he is, so it's good that people get to see that. And to be fair, he did cause quite a bit of controversy. His abuse of Cameron Ledridge was a disgrace, and I can't wait to have Pam eventually come and reply and bury Harry. And I think some of his teammates' questions didn't go down too well. There was a few people unhappy with getting the shout.
Well, look, that we'll always give people the right to reply. You'll always get a right to reply on this podcast. So, look, we can't try and...
As a player, if you'd like to send in a voice note, Barry and Harry Wood, or anyone else for that matter, feel free.
Oh, 100%. Oh, we'll welcome that. I don't mind a bit of... some feuding is good, I think. It's always good to have a little bit of feuding. I can confirm that last night, and you're a witness to this, Ben, the informal approach was made to Paddy Barrett.
Yeah,
he did claim he'd do record numbers.
Yeah, I think that's a bold claim. Who is still the number one? Is it the manager?
I would presume the manager. Now, I haven't checked, but I would presume the manager. Although, generally speaking, those player interviews do really, really well. So I would imagine it's the manager. You never know. We might even get a part two out of manager at some stage this year.
People still want a part two from Conor Kearns and hear about his situation in Galway. Not playing there, living there.
Yeah, and a certain Galway goalkeeper, I think, wants his farewell podcast. But after some of the saves he pulled off last night, he can fuck off.
Yeah, no, I was going to say he'd be more than welcome, but I don't know. There's a few saves there where I was like, just do us a favour here.
Yeah, what are you doing here? Like,
Why are you acting like a professional doing your job?
Yeah, for God's sake. Grow up is right. I don't think he can grow up anymore. Fucking nearly getting his bus pass now at this stage.
Wow, you and Reggie.
You've made the list. Look, we'll start with Saturday because I think we are the first club in history to be the holders of both the men's and women's President's Cup at one time. Obviously, on Wirren's side, made sure that trophy stays in Tolka. 2-1 win over Athlone, who are the defending league champions. It's one of those games, Ben, we said it before the men's one. If you win it, everyone says, you know, they're at home, they should win, but if you lose, it's, lost at home, blah-de-blah-de-blah. A good performance, a good game, and a good result.
Yeah, I think it's probably the best word, someone who's professional. Like, they went out there and they did absolutely what was needed. I think Athlone is a bit of a weird one for me because it's just the cup final aside, that does it does seem to be a little like monkey on the back. So I feel like that's one that won't be there this season because it's just gone so early, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's Athlone is such a weird one. Like, I just obviously it was the only game that we lost last year, and look, I would probably say the draws probably cost us more. That might be a mad thing to say, but like the six draws, I do think was a bit of a killer last year. But just on this game itself, chances galore from both sides, really. Eamon Clancy, obviously, on the score sheet from the tap in, that goal was Ronan McLaughlin rattles the crossbar, and then there was just this kind of oh, is it in? Is it not in? It was just kind of bouncing everywhere, and then Eamon just kind of came out of nowhere, cleaved it into the back of the net. It's not the prettiest goal, but if you're Eamon, you're just really, really happy to get off the mark, aren't you?
Some way to announce yourself in Talca Park, I think, especially in front of that crowd. Like, it's a great feeling, great sense of pride, and then especially to want to win it all.
Yeah, I think she mentioned we will have audio from Eoin and Owen Wirren's post-match press conference shortly, so you'll be able to hear in her own words, but she does mention, you know, it's kind of the perfect start. A big game to start with, getting on the score sheet probably couldn't have gone a whole lot better. The second goal, Ben, it's one of these ones people will look at it and go, oh, it was an OG. The pass from Kate Mooney was outrageous. An outrageous defense splitter, had the center half at sixes and sevens. The keeper, I think, had kind of started to come and then thought, oh no, I'm not getting near that. Kind of got caught backtracking, and obviously the center half is forced into having to do something, just get a leg on it, and obviously ends up in the back of the net. But it's real, you can see that technical kind of ability there. The likes of Kate Mooney, look, she nearly single-handedly could have won that league last year with the amount of goals she chipped in with. She was so effective. It was an outrageous pass, but like I kind of went through last season's results
Now,
and I was
there would
going,
be.
oh, what are you going to now? Hang on. You're going to moan at me here, are you?
No, I'm going to stop you there. Was it not Lucy O'Rourke?
Was it? It may well have been. I, Ben, my lamps, you know me.
I
I'm the
think if
man.
you just,
I'm
I
the
think you
man.
just saw the one on the back because Kate Mooney's changed numbers obviously to 11, but I'm pretty sure it was a Lucy O'Rourke defense splitter.
Well, don't mind me. An absolute spoofer. Lucy O'Rourke. An amazing defense blitz pass. Let's just forget the last 2 minutes.
I
And
mean, everything you're
sorry,
saying is
Kate.
correct.
Sorry, Kate, but we will just swap you out and we'll just put Lucy O'Rourke's name in there. With the magic of AI, Ben. Do
But here, that's.
you know what bothers me more about this? I always sit and I will rewatch stuff to make sure I don't make mistakes like that.
Yeah, you do.
And then what goes and happens? My eye has let me down at the most vital moment. Wouldn't be the first
Here.
time, won't be the last time this season
It
either.
happens to the best of us. I'm pretty sure. Look, I could be wrong, but it was an unbelievable defense player from Lucy O'Rourke. Kate Mooney was getting was going to get on the end of it, and centre half just hit off them wrong. So.
Yeah, the manner I giving away cheap goals is always going to be a killer. Like, and the penalty, look, was a decent penalty in the end. The lead up to the penalty, it's one of those ones I thought looking at it. Keeve, I think, just gets a bit of a rush of blood to the head. She obviously slices the kind of first clearance, and I think she was so keen to make
Just
up
get it
for the
out.
slice
Yeah.
clearance that just a little bit overzealous, I think, is probably the best there.
Oh, this man's been.
Look at this
Do
stuff.
you have one of those word of the day calendars, maybe?
No. Listen here. I don't need a word of the day calendar. These things,
character.
guys,
Oh.
fucking piss off. These things just come into my head. Do you know what I'm doing at this moment in time? I'm watching back the first goal because I want to confirm this. Sorry, the second goal. See, now I'm flustered. I'm all over the shop now.
Yeah. Now, if I'm wrong here, I could look like an idiot.
Ben, you and I both know it's more likely I'm going to be the one left looking like an idiot in this scenario. But look, we're making light of it. How much like, do you buy into the whole thing of it can give you so much momentum
Yeah,
winning the
I think it
President's Cup?
will.
Loads of people will say, oh, pre-season friendly, rah, 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 it's a competitive friendly, when it's not really.
It's a competitive game. It was treated as such. It was a professional performance. It's a good way to start the season, especially with a fairly spicy first matchup. And I think it's a real springboard for success this season, because I think we will be very, very successful.
Yeah, look, that's probably a perfect time. It was definitely Lucy Europe, by the way. So my sincerest apologies.
To be fair, dude, your glasses haven't been fixed, and
Oh, come on, you're all right. You gotta do this now. All right, Ben. So I have recently started wearing glasses for obvious reasons, because I can't tell the difference between two fucking players. I'm gonna defend myself though.
to be fair, I don't even think they're real glasses. I just think he got 3D
No,
glasses in
no.
the cinema and popped
No,
the
no,
eyes
no.
in.
They were legit glasses. They were helping me an awful lot, and I sat on them. And now they're unwearable. So, and I refuse to pay to get another pair because I'm being shafted with the amount of money I'm having to pay for glasses. Anyway, all of this is completely
And you
irrelevant.
owe money for a gilet as well, so.
Yeah, fucking yeah, all right. I do all right. There's somebody bouncing around Ballymun with that Tommy Hilfiger gilet on and a Shells rain jacket and with a Shells backpack on their back. And
I mean, there'd be some cut of them. It'd be fairly easy to spot.
yeah, he. Oh, look, I'm not gonna start throwing out threats here. That would be a very brave move. But a fantastic result, a great way to lead into the season. But for now, we'll hear from Avian and Owen Wearan. They in their post-match press conference in the beautiful new media room, and this is how it went.
How do you feel after that?
Yeah, I'm really happy. Obviously, a really nice game to come into. Like, to have your first debut game to be the President's Cup is really nice. Like, there's a good occasion about it and all. And obviously, see the bit of silverware is really nice so early in the season. So it's a nice little caveat on the top after doing a tough pre-season.
As you know, you're well familiar with that long one down to the years and playing with Wexford. It was a very competitive game that didn't let you away easily. What did you think of the battle, especially with the season to come? I suppose, like, what is supposed to think of the battle? They're the champions and stuff like that. Do you have any specific thoughts on maybe where he might be in comparison to other teams in the league going forward this year?
Yeah, obviously, Athlone are always going to bring a really tough challenge. Like, they're really fit, physical, and good on the ball as well. There's obviously, they're after adding a lot to their squad as well, so it's difficult to know what to expect. So obviously, they're the leaders, so like you'd expect them to be one of the top teams this season. But like every team's going to have added to from last season, so every game's going to be a tough challenge.
I suppose it was a big thing. I suppose one of the well, lots of movement around the league, but you just remember, I described one of the marquee signings of the winter. Maybe your move from Wexford. How have you found the move to Shelburne, and how are you getting on to settling in with the club?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Obviously, it was tough to move. I've been in Wexford since I was like 16, so it's a big change from what was like very well known. But I'm really, really happy that I went for it. And like Owen and the staff, all the girls have been really welcoming, and I'm really enjoying my time. Like, I'm excited coming into training every day, and like I'm really enjoying being out on the pitch as well. So there's nothing else you can really ask for.
There's a long way to go. I suppose your competitive debut, and you get a goal. I know you've done an awful lot more than a goal, obviously. But I suppose, how do you feel on a personal level, you know, helping your team to win and getting on the score sheet?
Yeah, obviously being on the score sheet was really nice, and it was only a tap in. I can kind of thank Roma for hitting the crossbar from about 5 feet away. But yeah, no, it's nice, and I think it kind of settled the nerves a bit as well at the start of the game, because obviously it's an occasion and like my first start and stuff, debut game, so I was a bit nervous. So it's nice to settle into the game like that and help the team as well. It's a really nice feeling.
What was the draw to Shelburne?
I think a fresh challenge is what I was looking for, and I think I really admire their style of play. You know, playing against them the last few years, they've always been really tough, and I think the technical side that they bring to the game, I thought I'd really enjoy that, so that was probably the main draw.
Carla Ward, you'll be hoping you'll have impressed her once again and try and break back into that Ireland squad.
Yeah, like obviously that would be really nice, and it's really good to see Carla Ward here today to look at what the league has to offer, and you know, there is quality within this league, so it's good to see that she's coming out to the games, and I hope that like continues across the league, that she's going to the games and seeing, you know, there's a lot of players here that have things to offer for that team.
You had a lot of experience to draw in Wexford with the likes of Kylie and Rihanna, and here you have similar experience in Perrin and Rachel and Noel and so on. How much of a factor is that? Like, how much does it play into the dressing room and the overall team dynamic, do you think?
Oh, it's huge. Like, you have to have that bit of experience in the team, that they just bring a levelness and keep the dressing room in a good shape. Like, you can see the parallels between the two. As you said, you have the likes of Kylie in Wexford, and then the likes of Pearl and Rach and all here. Like, what they add to the team is second to none. Like, I think a lot of it nearly goes unnoticed, but no, you have to have the likes of that in a team, that even when things are a bit chaotic on the pitch, that they can settle it down, because they've been there 100 times before, and within the dressing room, that they, you know, they keep the dynamics all going there.
Perfect.
And Owen, obviously there's been a lot of managerial change within the league. Yourself remaining consistent. How are you looking forward to this season and kicking off now, building on last season? Because obviously you only didn't really slip up that much, and yet the league went the other way.
Yeah, look, it's going to be a new challenge for us again. I think last year there was a little bit of an unknown for myself, you know, first year in the league, and maybe we had a little bit of a slower start than we would have liked, and hopefully we can rectify that this year and get off to a quick start. And, you know, I think winning is a habit. You know, we've won the last two competitions that are there to be won now, with the FAI Cup and the President's Cup today. So hopefully we'll be there when it really matters in October and lifting silverware then.
Do you think it's testament to the growth of the league that there is that competitive nature? As I say, I think you only lost one game or something last year, and yet you didn't emerge as league champions, FAI Cup champions. So not a bad season to start off.
Yeah, look, something I really enjoyed about the league last year was that competitive edge, and knowing that there was no easy games in the league, and hopefully that's something that, you know, within the league is there for the next few years and beyond, you know, because I think it draws more of an interest in it. I think we all, you know, even from a preparation point of view, you realise if you don't prepare properly for the game on a Saturday, there's teams around the league that can beat you. So you know, hopefully that's the same this year, and hopefully we can go one better, but definitely something that we're looking forward to this year is, you know, the challenge and the competition.
We touched on there, but Carla Ward was obviously in attendance, yeah. And there's been a lot of chat around the development squads and teams. Would you like to obviously see more and more of your players getting involved in those kind of dynamics as well?
Yeah, look, I spoke to Carla about 2 weeks ago at the League of Ireland launch, and had a good chat with her then, just about her own plans and the job. And obviously, look, she's only getting her feet under the table, I suppose. But I think, you know, it's really important that we do push the league. I definitely think there's players in our dressing room, but also around the league as well, that can definitely impact that squad or are very close. So it's great to see her keeping an eye on it today, but hopefully, you know, that's not just a once off, and it's we see that on a weekly basis, because I think players like Avian and stuff, their performances, you know, over a long period of time, you know, will hopefully show that they're capable of playing at that level, which I have no doubt they would.
You took the words out of my mouth,
but
there's one of them sitting there
beside you. Yeah, look, I'll be honest, like, Avian was probably the end of the season, I think I made contact with her as soon as the season was over. You know, that's football these days. You might win something, but, you know, you're already planning for next season. And I knew what qualities Avian had from playing against her last year, and I thought she'd fit into the group, not just as a footballer and what she brings as a player, but also as a person. I said, that's massive at Chelsea. You know, we've got those big characters, and you have to, you know, have a big personality on the pitch and be prepared to take the ball under pressure and take risks and all the things that I think Avian has. And look, she's settled in so well over the last few weeks, and I think she's only going to get better and better.
I heard someone say, and maybe I could be corrected if I'm wrong, but I think your guys are the first club to hold both the men's and the women's, yeah, President's Cup. You want to go on and make sure that's a league double now as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, look, hopefully it becomes a stage where we're nearly competing with the men. You know, that's what we want as a club, is We want to be, you know, competing for every trophy that's available on both sides of the club, and also at academy level, our academy's flourishing on the men's and women's side at the moment. So the club's certainly heading in the right direction. So hopefully this isn't just a purple patch, but it's something that we see over the next few years.
You'll have to get a box office like Duffer with the one-liners now.
Yeah, look, I'll continue to be myself and, you know, see what happens, but I'll be as honest as I can. But look, I'm really happy with the start that we had. It probably wasn't the prettiest game in the world, but I think all the best teams can show that, you know, they can get results and win games when they're maybe not at their best, or you know, so that puts us in good stead for the rest of the year.
That's something that was tough bleak having to come, obviously. How important was it for you? I don't know, certainly no pushovers today, but you have to draw and mention Jess and Noel and Jen all coming off the bench. How important is it to have that level of experience you're drawing, you know, as you enter in the later stages of these games to see
them out? Yeah, look, it's huge. It gives me headaches every week, and you know, about all three of the girls you mentioned, Gemma, Jess and Noel, we're carrying Knox and Niggles coming into the game, you know, over the last week or so. Look, that's what it's about. It's a long season, you know. What matters, as I said, is where we are in October, and we're going to need the whole squad to do that. You know, we want to compete for all three competitions that essentially that are there to be won after this. So four, if you include today, like. But you know, that's going to be important to us, and I think we've built a really good squad, and you know, and it's a squad where I think all members of the squad, and I'm not just talking senior players, but we've got some really good young players coming through as well. That if they're called upon throughout the year, I've no doubt that they'll perform.
Goal scorer Eivin Clancy and all wearing there. Ben, I like the ambition. I like a bold, well, it's probably not a bold statement, but all wearing there saying basically, like, we're going full throttle for everything. Like, we've won the first one that was up for grabs, and we are going full throttle for everything. And it's interesting because at the fans forum, Rory Kirk, who's obviously the assistant manager, had alluded to they're running off a slightly smaller squad this year. To kind of keep that bit of competition alive, maybe. Would you not? Is it a bit contradictory? Like, if you're going to push in every single competition, is there not something to be said for having a bigger squad?
No, I don't think so, especially with the quality of players coming through the academy. You see it every season. There's 2, 3, 4 standouts. Like Lucy O'Rourke, as we mentioned before, I think she's still only 17, up for correction, but like, there's a lot of quality there to be brought through. So yeah, look, we start the season with a smaller squad, but there's always room for a call up then, I would imagine. And there is room for these young players to see a pathway, and there is a way to break into the first team. And I think that's more important than having 2, 3, 4 established players for that squad in each position. Would you agree?
I would, yeah. I think with the way women's football is going at the moment, and look, Colleen O'Neill was obviously really outspoken on this about wanting to push young players more in the women's game. I know he probably pissed an awful lot of people off with the comments that he made, but like, for me, those young players coming through are like the bedrock of it. You know, that's what you want. I think if you ask any of our more experienced players, they feed off it. I mean, Pearl has said it numerous times in interviews that you feed off that bit of energy that younger players bring into the group, and like, they'll bring in just something different. Like, I would rather see that than us go out and sign. Like, I kind of like the breakdown of the signings, if that makes sense. It's like, there's a couple from within the league. There always seems a couple will come in from abroad with shells, which I like that as well, because they offer something different. And then you have those few young players coming in that may not be like on that established list now, but I'd say as the season wears on, you will start to see more and more names pop up, whether it's on the bench, coming into star games. And look, that's what you want. People are putting so much time, money and effort into academies. Like, let those academy players come in. Let them compliment the likes of Noel, Rachel, Pearl. Like, that's what it's all about, surely, you know?
Yeah, I'd agree.
And the other side of it is, Owen has a lot of experience dealing in academies and dealing with younger players, both here and abroad. So, like, stick to what you're good at. Stick to what you're good at, I say. And once again, a formal apology for my slip, we'll say. Does that go down as an assist? If you're in fantasy football, is that an assist? If you play that last ball that leads to an OG?
Oh, I don't know, actually.
It should, in my opinion. But look, we're not getting into fancy football at the moment because it's a lot of strange people obsessed with fancy football, I find. But look, that was Saturday. Obviously, that's going to annoy somebody, definitely. But look, here we are. It's been
Yeah,
a
yeah.
long, long week, and it's only Tuesday. Did you ever see that meme? God, that was a long week. It's only Wednesday, Captain.
Yeah.
That's certainly how this feels. League action is back this Saturday, Ben. It's good old Ringsend Derby. It's at home. It's in Talca Park with the later kickoff time of 4 o'clock, which I think is an excellent, excellent move. Something so small, it mightn't seem very significant to some people, but speaking from experience, if you're somebody with a family, a young family who are out either playing sport, dancing, cheerleading, whatever they do on Saturday mornings, 4 o'clock's a way, way, way better time to try and get people in the door. So long may continue. It's live on ILOI TV, of course. If you can't be there, watch online, get yourselves down, and let's win it all then. Clean sweep.
Yeah, I like the sound of that.
I want league and cup doubles on both sides. And just go on an absolute mad one for about 4 weeks afterwards. That's what I want to see. And let me
Ask
tell
me
you,
more.
we will be there. We will be
We
there.
will be there.
Before the President's Cup game, obviously, we had the men's Ringsend Derby with Rovers. Ends in a one-all draw. Ooh, it felt like it was there for the taking, didn't it?
Yeah, I don't really know what to make of that Rovers side. Like they seem, look, obviously they haven't had a real pre-season. They haven't really had a break in play with the European games, but they just seem like out on their feet. Like they're an aging squad and they look every bit of it.
They do. They're such a weird one, Rovers. Like,
Because you can never write them off because they'll just turn around and make you look stupid.
yeah, and you still like I still came out of it going, look, point against Rovers is always going to be a decent point. But then I was kind of fighting in my own head, going, no, like we're Rovers now. We're the top dogs now. We won it last year, so we're the ones that everyone should be saying, oh, geez, we done well to.
We
Get
are
out
the
of Talca with
benchmark.
a point. Yeah, of
Yeah.
course, 100%. The biggest issue for me on Friday was Harry Wood's failed worm.
He was so devastated because he
Oh, he
believed
was.
the four man alone. Not that, he was devastated about the worm after the game.
Yeah.
Dude, he just ruined it for him.
No, I didn't. I asked him, had he seen it yet? And he seemed pretty enthused. But he was like, no, I haven't seen it. He said, oh, I think my dad might have sent it to me, but I haven't seen it yet. So. Well, if you got the footage there, I did take great pride in showing him the video, and you could just see, like he was so amped up, and then it was just like, oh, when he seen it. But nevertheless, like, look, it's not the most beautiful goal he's gonna score this year, but Harry, I
Yeah,
know
but
everyone
they're
is saying it
awesome.
outside the club now. People are saying it. He looks a different animal this year.
Yeah, but I think that was always going to be the case. He said it himself, like he didn't come back in the best shape in the world. He wasn't ready for a lot of the football that he was playing, and it just shows a full preseason with the squad under his belt, and he is firing on all cylinders. He just looks really, really good. You can see it again last night against Galway. Like coming away from those two games, was goal and assist for himself.
Yep. A great assist as
That's
well last night, which we'll get to.
unbelievable. That brings him up to what, two assists and a goal for the season
Yeah, like
already
if you're a
so early
stats
on.
man, like that's not a bad start.
Yeah, if you are that way inclined, he's performing well, but he just looks like he's enjoying his football as well.
He does, and he's again kind of skipping ahead to last night's game against Galway. He seems angrier or something playing.
He's so, I don't know what it is. There's just a great intent in his play. Like, he wants to win the ball back. He needs to win the ball back. He gets the ball. He wants to carry. He wants to drive. It's, I don't know why I don't even know if he feels like this, but it seems like he's playing with a point to prove.
Well, he
And he
probably
does.
is, because like, he came in so hot originally, and then I think, like, I meant to ask him this during the interview, like, was he aware of kind of the, he wasn't getting heavy criticism as such, but there was an awful lot last year of, I don't know, he hasn't really come back as the same player.
There was a lot of noise online, and I just think people, I don't know what it is, but for a lot of the time, it happens with us. People judge players way too quickly, and they don't consider any other factors of, well, hold on, this lad hasn't been playing for the last few months. We have, like, he did document that he didn't really enjoy his spell at Grimsby, and he wasn't enjoying his football. So the headspace he comes in to the squad with, like, they're all contributing factors into how he comes back. And you just see again how happy he is playing his football now.
No, he is, without a doubt. The goal we gave away, look.
And sorry, I just want to say before you go into the goal we gave away, he also does have the headband back. So it's like prime Harry Wood coming back.
Yeah, I did notice that. That same headband that I think an awful lot of people used as a stick to beat him with when he signed originally. It's like, look at this lad coming over here with his hairband, with his half-arsed warm-up against UCD on the touchline. But look, whatever power's in that hairband, leave him at it.
Yeah.
The goal looked, both goals really, last night's goal and the goal on Friday, like, I think the manager mentioned it in his post-match interview, is like, they're just not like us. They're just cheap ones.
Uncharacteristic, yeah. And, like, again, there is that little bit of panic of, like, you see some comments and you're like, what game have you watched? Because I don't know where you're getting these takeaways from. Like, the two uncharacteristic goals. Do I see them happening again? Hopefully not. Not really. Like, I think it's just not really something in our game, and I think we mightn't see it again. I think it's just one of those. It just happens the odd time.
Yeah, it does. It, like, shit happens, as the man says. Conor Cairns went on to make a hugely important save in the second half of that Rovers game. I think it was his foot. I think he caught away, wasn't it? It was, can't remember.
I thought it was his shoulder.
It might have been, yeah. And then the one last night as well. That was a fucking outrageous save.
That last night was definitely a shoulder.
Got minced that, man. We had a great view, but that ball had an insane amount of pace on it.
Oh,
insane. And to, like, I know people say, oh, it just hit off him, but he turns to kind of like
his body, so it doesn't go and bounce straight back to another player. Like, people say, oh, I didn't know much about that. Well, he saved it, so I imagine he did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Look, we move on to last night. You know what you're going to get going into Galway. It's always kind of going to be, and I don't like to belittle the way Galway play, because it's effective. And I am very much in the camp of, you do what you need to do to win games, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. Doesn't matter. If you're picking up points, it's the right thing to be doing. And I thought we dealt with it really well.
That's a game where they can drag you down to their level and you can be left slugging it out with them. And 9 times out of 10, they'll get you a knockout blow somewhere, because they're just used to playing like that. I think we controlled the game really well. I think we dictated the pace for most of the game, and we played the way we intended to play. And I think we played really well.
Like, I thought that there seemed to be an awful lot of people being a bit hypercritical. And look, again, it comes back to this thing. I know people think we're sitting here and like, they won't fucking criticize players or the way we play. When that time comes, like, we will, absolutely. But in a away game to Galway where you've picked up a point, I just don't, compared to some of the performances we've had down there in the last few years. I mean,
we didn't win there last year.
That's what I mean. And we were septic every time we played down there last year.
We go down with no fans and like we do nothing. We weren't great. Like that was a good performance and unlucky not to come away with 3 points, happy to come away with a point.
Yeah, that's kind of the bottom line on it, I think. Like, it wasn't the prettiest game of football. We did actually play some decent stuff, all things considered. Now, where are the people to hammer the pitch in Galway, I wonder?
Yeah, like, where's the... It's not good for the league brigade.
Yes, I have to make one point. Sorry, I know I'm cutting across you. Justice for Boydie again on Friday.
It's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace.
That was
I don't
mental.
Know what the man has to do to get any kind of call, because I'd say Pico Lopez's knee is still coming out through his stomach. Like,
yeah, there was some weird ones.
How, like, he's been booked two consecutive games from Friday and the game before for diving. Like, what is going on? It's like, is it just it's cool to give Boydie a yellow or like?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's
and the one on Friday, the one that he was booked for diving allegedly in air quotes. I thought he was fouled there.
Oh, he was, and
I thought it was a clear foul. Like,
yeah, and his reaction, I think, would tell you a lot as well. Like he just looked in complete disbelief. It was one of those where I'm not even gonna get angry here because I actually don't know what to say. It was...
I would get angry, but I got angry enough on Friday about the referee. Look, you look at standards across the league, standards in broadcasting, obviously improving, standards in media, all the clubs are raising their standards in terms of what they do, the standard on the pitch is improving. The referees have not improved at all. In fact,
no.
I think they've, so far this season, I'm yet to see a really, really good refereeing performance.
Well, Ben, that brings me nicely to the Richie Rankins. So, I just have to put this out there. My Richie Baker for this week, it's Damien McGrath.
Damien McGrath, yeah, it has to be. That's hilarious.
Right,
but that's, again, performance off the pitch.
Look, when it comes to refs, right, I can deal with bad decisions. I can deal with, like, you know, if they just don't see something. Look, we seen it in Galway last night. I mean, in fairness to the ref and the lino, they came to the right decision in the end. I just think it was the linesman, I think, thought it came off a Galway body, and then that's why he put the flag up for offside. But in fairness to them, like, they got the right decision out there in the end. And if it was the other way around, like, that one is kind of affected us in a negative way. But if the shoe was on the other foot, I'd be saying, fair play to the officials, they did it right. But even though it didn't work out well for us, they were right.
We were close enough to the line, I'm pretty sure. Myself, yourself, Reggie, Darren, we were applauding the lino when he first disallowed her. Like, yeah, great
yeah, we
decision.
Were. Yeah. Like,
it's just one of those, isn't it?
Yeah, the decision making doesn't bother me as much. It's the carry on and go away, you're not allowed to talk to me and blah. That really bothers me.
The lack of accountability drives me nuts. And the fact that, here, look, I understand it's very intimidating to have four lads probably swarming you. And that's why they do a thing where it's obviously one player, and that'd be great. But look, we've heard, and what it seems like, anytime a player does approach referee, it's get away from me, I'm not talking to you. Like, there just seems to be no dialogue there, or no desire for a dialogue to be there.
Yeah, and I think that was the difference last night, in that, by the looks of things, I think it's Greg Cunningham, their captain, the number 8. Is that who that was?
Yes.
Whoever it was, anyway. I think that's how they ended up coming to the right decision, because he eventually kind of ushered everyone else away and kind of just spoke to the referee normally. And by the looks of it, he was kind of saying, will you just ask the linesman what he thinks he's after saying? Because that ball was nowhere near a Galway player. And like, I just thought it was a good example of, if everyone behaves like a rational person, you can come to the right decision in the end. Now, speaking but of...
It's the fact that no one lets that happen. Like, no one lets it breathe. It's just, I get away.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And look, I probably would have had Rob Hennessy down as one of those get away from me, but I always mix him and Paul McLaughlin up, so I don't know who I'm actually thinking of there, but I will say...
Paul McLaughlin.
Yeah, yeah. Paul McLaughlin. Fair play to Rob Hennessy. Look, the right decision came in the end. A draw, probably a fair result, but I do want to just go back to the Damien McGrath thing. For anyone who doesn't know, Cork played Waterford, Cork had a man sent off, and Tim Clancy got sent off after the final whistle, and he gave a hilarious interview to Virgin Media, and here is that interview now.
See, I said to Damien after the game, I said, I thought you were shocking, and what he said back to me was an absolute disgrace. He said, well, I thought your team were shocking. Now, that's a match official who's supposed to be officiating the game. I then said, I go, that's your ego getting the better of you. And he gave me two yellow cards and set me off.
That for me, Ben, is just, it's tone deaf stuff. Like, I told him he was having a shocker and I told him he was this and that. And then he said something back to me. It's like, what do you expect? Like, that doesn't bother me. And I think most players wouldn't be too bothered. Like, there's loads of stories now have come out today. I've seen Owen Heary and Barry Murphy talking about, like, referees kind of back at the, you know, in the early mid-2000s, kind of slagging players a little bit back and forward. Like, surely that's a more human way to referee a game.
Yeah, but 90% of them referee like robots.
Well, not friend of the podcast, Damien McGrath, that's for sure. So just for clarity, Ben, Damien McGrath is my Richie Baker for this week, and Tim Clancy, of course, is my Richie Winter. Do you have one you want to try out there?
I think for a Richie Winter, I'm going to have to give it to the Collie O'Neill. Just, like, look, fair enough, if he wants to have a go, he can have a go, but the manner in which he had a go is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it felt a bit like he was blanketing a lot of kind of the more senior players, didn't it?
And, like, if you're an Anya O'Gorman in that squad, how are you coming in to train with him?
Yeah, it was a very strange kind of outburst. Very, very strange. And, like, the worst thing about that is, I think part of it, he was kind of nearly close to making a decent point about younger players and the importance of the young players and all that kind of stuff. But to just, like, discount most of the kind of, I was going to say senior pros, that might be a nice term to use, the more experienced players, it was just a very strange way to go about it.
Just a bit tone deaf, I think. And I think for a Richie Baker, dude, you'll love this one. A recently retired sports journalist, Philip Quinn. Just because I can't imagine what a... Dude, you've been there, you've been around the huddle, and everyone asks questions about the match, and then Philip Quinn has an absolutely outrageous question to do with absolutely nothing that's just happened on that pitch for 90 minutes, and it just throws everyone off. So I'll miss the random question, so I'll have to give it to Philip Quinn, and I hope he enjoys his retirement.
The amount of times people just be looking around at each other going, has he actually asked that? Like, he had a great fondness for asking the manager about his dog.
Yeah.
He asked Cam Ledwidge, was he related to some famous poet or something like that, wasn't he?
Francis Ledwidge,
yeah. I don't know, but yeah. No, it's a fair...
He loves it. He reminds me of that teacher in school that just loves a tangent, and you'd say something just to get them to keep talking so they're off on their rambles.
Yeah, they're wasting their time, basically, yeah. Yeah. Right, Ben, a little bit of an express pod, just all things considered. It's been a busy week so far, and it's only Bleeding Tuesday. But, as always, thank you very, very much for giving up your time.
Pleasure is mine.
And we'll see everyone on Friday for the visit of Drogheda.
Up there, Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.